Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin, and you are tuned in to Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? Now, y'all know what's up with me, man. It's your man's back again, and I got a guest that go by Taylor Fusell, make sure I'm saying it right. She comes from, okay, she is from Maryland, but she moved to the hot Atlanta, and she's an entrepreneur, a branding expert, and she in reality TV. So for the, you know, I don't want to say too much because I want her to tell y'all what she does. So let me introduce y'all to Miss Taylor. Miss Taylor, say what's up to the world.
Hey, what's up, world? My name is Taylor Fusell. I am a serial entrepreneur. I specialize in branding, help people start their businesses, but I dibble and dabble in a lot of different entities. I am an investor as well.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, I know before we got the podcast started, I want to know where you're from, where you grew up at, and what made you get into what you're doing now.
Okay, so I'm from Bowie, Maryland. It's about 20-30 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. What made me get into helping people start their businesses? It's a passion for me. About 3 years ago, I connected my passion with my purpose, and I realized that I am here to help other people start their businesses. So it was just really going through a self-development phase, finding out who I am, what my gifts are, what do I specialize in, and that's what led me to, and also God. God showed me, I asked God, I said, give me a business. First show me, and then give me a business where I can help people to be able to thrive and still make money. So it's purpose for me.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, I tell you this, man. I'm on your same boat, man. You know, it's all about purpose and what you're mm-hmm. doing. So let me ask you a question then. So what is your brand? Okay, I know your name is Taylor Fusell. I don't want to say it wrong because I don't want you to get on my motherfucking ass. But all right, we good. But let you know that I met Miss Fusell actually at a red carpet event that they had in Atlanta. I actually drove all the way from Nashville down there and back the same night because that's what I do. And I actually met Miss Fusell, and we take a couple pictures. We didn't really get to talk much, but I know I said, hey, look, we'll connect. I get at you with the podcast. We start from now. Cause you know, I'm a hip hop artist and I'm a film director, writer, and producer, and all that. So, and she's like, well, okay, cool. And I'm gonna be honest with you. You want to be honest with you?
I want you to be brutally honest.
I thought you were gonna be full of shit.
Really?
Yes, I did. Look, I'm gonna tell you why. Let me tell you why. Cause look, I did 7 years in prison. All right, I've been out 3 years. Like I said, I got out homeless and stuff. So everybody be bullshit, and I'm gonna be honest with you, and it be my own people. You know what I mean? And that's what really gets me. I'm like, dang, man, we supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? But why is it my own people that gotta bullshit me? You know what I'm saying? And so when I went to the ATL, you know, and when I went down there to meet you and a couple other people, let me be honest with you. I met a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, gave a lot of people my number, my card. I'm like, hey, man, I'm doing some big things. You know, I'm top 200 in Apple Podcasts. And what's up?
Right.
Everybody gave me their stuff and their information. And guess what? I ain't hear back from none of them. And wow. I reached out. Nobody reached back. Only my own people. But guess who did reach back at me? You and Isaac.
That's right.
You know, ain't that crazy? You know?
It's crazy, but you know, Atlanta is one of those cities that's full of fluff. That was one of the things I was told to be aware of when I come here, that a lot of people say they do a lot of things and they're not really doing them, or they're not even working towards them. And I'm a big fan of entrepreneurs living in the future. You don't always have to, your situation doesn't have to define your next move and what you're doing in that particular day. So I do believe that you can manifest and you could do some things with your business if you're not really in that place, right? I don't really believe in faking it till you make it, but I believe in you actually moving toward those dreams and goals, even if you're not in that space. With being said, when you network with someone, the fortune is in the follow-up.
No doubt.
So if you network and if you have this brand, whether it's thriving now or you plan on it thriving in the future, you have to follow up with your counterparts. You have to follow up with the people that you have, that you network with, and you have to have action. You have to put it together. Like when you reached out to me, you were adamant. You're like, when do you want to do this podcast? Do you want to do it tonight? Do you want to do it tomorrow? And it was so amazing to have someone be about what they say, because again, I come across that as an entrepreneur. I come across people all the time who tell me they have these platforms, they're connected to these people, they're doing these things, but when it's time for them to bring it to forefront, they disappear, they go ghost, or it's an excuse. So I'm honored to be here on your platform this evening. I don't take it lightly. Anytime that I can get out to any platform and spread my message as well as tell my story, I'm here for it. So
I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that you reached out to this platform, because I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen to this platform by next year. We're going to be sitting on some big boy shit. You feel me?
And I need to still be here with you.
Yeah. No doubt. Because look, you already came on. You showing love. You know, I'm going to reach right back out, you know, when my movie drop in August. And, you know, when Netflix want to buy it for $50 million and stuff. You know what I mean? We be like, hey, look, man. Hey, for everybody that, you know, fuck with the kid, man. What's up, man? I got you. But look, I like what you, I was looking up a lot of stuff that you do, and I was saying that you do some modeling and stuff like that too. And I'm like, okay, now let me see if this sister different. All right, because you know, no lie, you know, for all my black women and my black men out there, we gotta look out for each other, no doubt. So this is my thing. There's a lot of black men and black women like I be trying to work with, real talk, but it's always something. Like you said, there's always something. So I like to see that I actually got somebody that didn't think I was with the bullshit. Because I'm going to be honest with you. In Nashville, where I'm from, it's hard to even get actors and actresses because when they see me, they already do the stereotype of me. He's a hip-hop artist. He owns a record label. Whoa. I said, well, hold on. I own a record label. I own a filming company. I own a podcast. I own my own clothing brand. And I write all my own stuff, produce music. I do it all myself, right? And you feel me? And they're like, okay, how you got the time? Right now they try to say, oh, is he selling dope? He ain't got a 9-to-5. Look, I done heard it all. And you know what I do? I'd be like, you know what? Let them think what they want to think, right? You know, it don't even matter. You feel me? Everything, and that's what I like about what you were saying. You build your brand, right? You doing it, right? If people don't want to fuck with you, fuck them. You know, keep it pushing. You get what I'm saying? Because it's not worth it, right? Now, I know you're doing your reality show. I know Isaac was telling me a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about the reality show that you're part of?
So it's just a reality show based in Atlanta. It is about entrepreneurs. It is showing my entrepreneur journey. It is showing the different things that I've been able to do in 90 days. And I've been in Atlanta since January. So it's just kind of filming my life. It has some other entrepreneurs on it. And it's going to be a pretty dope thing. I'll make sure I hit you guys with some info when it will be premiering. But even today, I got a call about something with VH1. I got a call last week about Tyler Perry Studio. So it's a lot of opportunity coming. Which one am I going to take? Which one is going to fall through all the way? I'm not sure. Someone asked me the other day, they said, well, when did you get into acting? Is this something that you always wanted to do? And weirdly, when I was a kid, I was in plenty of plays. I was the Black Cinderella. I was, you know, one of these main characters in several plays. And when I became an adult, I didn't really go toward acting. I didn't really want to be on TV. I watched a lot of reality shows, but I never put myself in their shoes to be on the show. But, you know,
well, let me ask you a question. Why didn't you? What made you? Yeah, why didn't you? Be honest.
Well, let me tell you something. The truth, I'll be really honest. A lot of the times when I was seeing the reality shows, it was too much drama for me. It was too catty. I didn't see a lot of people get famous. I did see the success that came from a lot of people's shows, but those shows are like one of those things where they could make you or they could possibly break you. And no doubt. People always identify me when they see my Instagram, they see me with my products looking good. They say, oh, are you a model? And I always said, I'm not a model.
Oh, yeah, to throw that in now. You see me with my products looking good.
Right. They're underpaid for me, underpaid and undervalued. I'd rather be in more of a leadership position. in my businesses. So I always looked, I always overlooked acting and TV.
Well, let me ask you a question then. If I say, hey, look, I got a part for you, I'd like to put you in one of my films, would you gladly accept?
Now it's different. I was in a BET movie 2 years ago. It's called Angrily Ever After. It's filmed by Terry Vaughn. She's the producer of it. I came to be a stylist. This is one of the items that I made. I am a stylist and a designer as well. So when I came to the event, to the movie premiere, not the movie premiere, the filming, I came with items to dress the cast. Yeah. But they didn't need items to dress the cast, but instead they needed extras. So I didn't know anything about it. I didn't have a portfolio, headshot, you know, all these different things people have. But they had me as an extra. And then within 20 minutes of filming, Terry Vaughn herself, shout out to her, she walked up to me and she said, I want to give you a role. I want to give you a role with a name and a character. And I just was like amazed, you know. So that came up. And then the reality show has came up. So I realized it is a platform for people to be able to see me. And then from there, you see one thing, you see an exterior, you see the clothing, you see the hair, you see the makeup. But once they see that, and they get to have a conversation with me, or we get to vibe on another level and frequency, they'll see my purpose. They'll see my passion.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you collab with people when it comes to your clothing? Like, for example, I got a clothing brand. We ain't gonna say what it is because we'll talk about it afterwards. But I got a clothing brand. But what I'm gonna be doing is I want to take designers and bring them to my clothing. And the only thing they gotta do is design. That's all they gotta do. They don't have to put no money, none of that. I'll be doing all that, and I set up a licensing deal from them where with my clothing brand they have their own edition. So for example, I tell you what my clothing brand is after we get a thing. But and I'm like, so and so the Taylor for sale edition. And all you gotta do is design. You ain't gotta worry about the cost. You ain't gotta worry about that. So what we do is we'll bring it and we'll pay your percentage off every article of clothing you sell. And we'll be doing it from like 6 months or 3 months, or it might be a season of your clothing. Like we're like, okay, we're gonna do the Answer for Sale edition from January to April. We might do a Joe Blow edition from May to boom. But if your clothes sell good, we might be like, okay, we bringing back the Taylor
Fruit Sale.
My bad. The Taylor Fruit Sale edition, right? And so we'll bring it back in the winter. So we doing that, and what we doing, like with the short film and all that, we gonna look for designers and we want artists that music or whatever they do, and bring them and put them towards Heat Level Films also. So, that's the reason why I wanted to kind of vibe with you, just see where your vibe was at. Because let me ask you though, first, and I got to do this because I got to do this on my podcast, because hey, we do interviews, we own music, we hip hop. This is what we do also, and we talk about business. So before we go any farther, you know what you got to do for me? I got to get your top 4 hip hop artists right now. Now, we ain't doing great of all time. We don't do top 5. We only do top 4. Now, hey, it can be an old school. Okay. First, I'm going to give you my list. All right. Please. Number 1, Eminem. All right. Right now, because he's still killing the game. Number 2, J. Cole.
Oh, wow.
His album just dropped actually today, when we put the off season. All right. My number 3, it was Kendrick Lamar, but Kendrick Lamar hasn't released nothing in 4 years, so I got to replace him with Busta Rhymes right now.
Oh, wow.
Busta killing the game right now. All right. And my number 4, and I had to put him as my number 4 because I love the guy. He's young, but I love him. But right now, I'm going to have to put a tie on these two. And that is Cordae and Lil Baby.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Okay. All right. So Lil Baby is on my list if we have to talk about new.
Yeah,
artists.
So give me your four. Give me your four. I want them.
I am a more motivation, rap, hip hop, inspirational story.
Well, give me your top four. I already know what you're about to say.
One of my top ones, and this is not really in that category of storytelling, but it is in that category of lyricist, Drake. He is my number one. He is a lyricist. He is commercial, but he's also pop, but he's also can relate. He could put on a street, you know, street hat and get a little hood if someone plays with him, right? I like Drake.
Okay.
Every time he drops something, it's fire. It's crazy. And it's one of those things. It's just he's unstoppable.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest with you.
So many Grammys.
I always tell sometimes I can't argue with a black woman about certain things. So I'm gonna leave Drake alone because you ain't finna get me with that. So go to your number two.
I like Drake.
Go to your number two.
My number two, rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. Reason being,
no doubt.
Through his music, you were able to see the transition that he was making in his life from the streets to the corporate world. You can see that he wanted to lead other people out of that lifestyle. And I mean, the Cali swag is everything for me. I'm a up north girl. So, you know, that to have that Cali swag and everything, I really love Nipsey Hussle.
So
that was number two because I only did Drake.
Yeah, number three.
The third one for me has to be Lupe Fiasco, even though he has not dropped anything.
That's my guy.
The reason being is music is just too real, it's too deep, it's underrated. I will never mention artists and not mention Lupe because of what I stand on as far as change.
Yep.
Change, right? And for the newer artists, it would just be Lil Baby. And this is by accident. I don't really listen to a lot of new music, but it's like everything I like that's new is Lil Baby.
I know. He is.
You know, but, this little guy with this big talent, and I support everything he's doing, from his family to his businesses to the respect with his label to his brand. I see Lil Baby growing and being here for a while in this industry.
No doubt. Okay, let me ask you. Okay, so look. Now this is the talk around Hollywood, as they call it. We got people like... Well, we got the Hollywood, but you know, this is a talk around Hollywood about black women, right? Okay. Now, I want you to get your take on this, right? So you got people like Monique, who was blackballed by the industry. You got Aunt Viv. I forgot her real thing. What's her real name from the Will Smith show? They got kicked off the show. She was blackballed for over 20-something years. She's about to come out with a new project. Actually, Monique was on Comedy Gold Mines with Kevin Hart and talking about the situation about her being blackballed and all that. So I want to ask you this. As being a black woman that is entrepreneur in this industry, black women have the tendencies of being called hard to work with, hard to deal with, because they always have they have a strong opinion. If they feel like something ain't right, it ain't right. And a lot of black women in this industry, when you talk about entertainment, stuff like that, they get blackballed for speaking their mind. Now, I want to say to you, how do you feel about that? Especially like people like Monique and stuff, but they're finally getting back. But they was blackballed for, you know,
So somebody near and dear, close to my heart, was just blackballed, got famous. Coach Stormy, she said something. It went viral. She's my coach and my mentor in business, one of my businesses. And it was, for me, we are the only race that does that. We're the only race that has a canceled list. We're the only race that is quick to never be understanding, but to be judgmental. And we are, other religions, but we're the only race, color, that always wants to put women in a position of silence, lesser pay, lesser jobs and different things like that. But time is changing. If you're realizing now we have a lot of Black women mayors, we have a lot of Black women running corporations, we have Black women dominating the trucking industry, the network marketing industry. Black women are dominating and they're no longer being silenced. But see, the problem is traditionally with the older generation, these people that you just mentioned are a little older, they came up being silent. So now when it's time for them to speak out, a lot of people don't know how to handle it. But I just don't agree with us always being the ones to blackball our people or put them on a cancel list. We have to be more understanding. And one thing about women, and I can contest to this, we are naturally going to be emotional. We're going to be passionate, but we're also going to be nurturing.
Very emotional. Put that very on there. Put that very on there for me. Very.
God made me. I'm born June 27th. God made me a Cancer. Cancers are naturally emotional, and I understand that, but there's something called emotional intelligence. So once we start to get to know ourselves and we understand what our faults are, then we could decide to work on that in the business or in the workspace. But again, I still do not agree with the nurturing, the passion, and the emotion being mistaken for anything other than that. When we get in business, when we're getting on a show, when we're doing, we might do it with more passion than someone else who has may not bear children, who has may not face the ugly divorce, who has may not face the weight issues. These people are still human.
All right, let me
people
ask you this. Okay.
Hollywood,
so let me get something. Let me get something on you, Taylor. All right, let me get something on you. Cause now I'm about to hit you where it hurts, right? Hit me out. Now, this is another thing I get. All right, you know, I love my Black queens. Don't get me wrong. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not dating one. No lie. You know, I don't have a Black girl. You know, I have a white girl, but I want to say something. Now, people come to me and say, oh, you're dating a white girl, or I hear this about you dating this, you dating a white girl, da, 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 da. But they never come and ask me, why am I dating a white girl? Because it doesn't matter to me, right? It's like, a white girl is not the first girl I ever dated in my life. You know, I've dated multiple races of women, including Black, you know what I mean? So it's never been, oh, I'm only going to date a white girl. I'm only going to date a Black girl. I'm only going to date an Asian girl. Because one thing about me is this. I speak for my people. I always take up for my people, but I keep it real at the same time. And sometimes women that I've dated in the past that were different nationalities, they didn't like what I was saying. But they had no choice but to respect it. Now, if I was talking to a Black girl, believe it or not, even when I was talking to a Black girl, she didn't like what I was saying, but she respected it. All right? So on both sides, that's how it was, right? So let me ask you this, and I want you to just keep it always honest. Because when we talk about Black men in the industry, when we talk about Black men, period, they taking the Black men out of the households, out of the Black family and all that. You know, Dr. Umar Johnson talk about this a lot. But let me ask you a question. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that love can be love? It doesn't matter what color you are, where you're from, or you feel that we should get back to Black love, you know, and I'm coming from just third party and just be honest.
I think I'm not one of those people that is into that color, race. Really, I'm not really into that. I think whatever your heart wants, whatever you feel comfortable with, whatever you're able to stick with, and whatever is able to stick with you. I think a relationship, I tell someone all the time, it takes two. So if that person is more nurturing, if they're more loving, if they're more calm, whatever you need to satisfy you and your space is what is good for you. And I've dated Caucasian, I've dated Latina, I dated, and I have been treated better by Caucasian, the guys I've
okay,
dated.
Okay, okay, no, you got, hold on, you better stop right now.
But
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question though, before you finish, let me ask you a question. Now, I got a homeboy who white and he just proposed to his Black girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. All right. He treat her like, you know, woo, 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 woo. All right.
So good.
Let me ask you, look, oh my God. All right, okay. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think that is? Why do you think when a white man get a black woman, they treat her?
I'm not dissing any other race.
No, you ain't. No,
but I think that they have an obsession with us and has had it for years, centuries. And it could be something new for them. It could be, you know, they never dated a black girl. They always been interested, or they always date black women and they like the flavor, the style, the cooking, the attitude, the hair. I mean, we're completely different in a sense than other races. So there's certain things that's probably appeasing to us, to them. And one day recently I was speaking with a guy, and he actually has skin cancer. It's a Caucasian guy. And he said to me, he said, "I'm just so happy for your skin," or something he said, or he said something
your
like that.
I'm
like, no, he didn't say pigmentation. He said your skin color or something like that. He said something. And I said, well, what? When I looked at him weird, like, what is he about to say? And he was saying, because I have skin cancer, and I know that it's not really common in African Americans, and the more melanin that you have in your skin, it can protect you from the sun and different things like that. So you're just blessed, and God really blessed you. And he was just, you know, and from a different space, he was honoring the melanin in my skin. He was honoring the fact that I'm able to partake in more sun and different
so
things.
So basically,
like
he was loving your diet,
and he wasn't flirting with me. He was just saying, because of what the complications he's suffering by having no pigmentation to his skin and lack of melanin, that he realizes that our skin is more powerful than we even sometimes. And this is the first time I've ever heard this. I haven't experienced pure racism really. You know, I kind of get, you know, but I'm not a racist person. I feel like you are what you attract what you are. And when it comes to love, I think you should be open to it. I think you should not put limitations on looks, weight, color, or any of those things. Because when you're raising a family and you're creating generational wealth, none of that stuff is going to matter at the end. Martin Luther King, I love him. I love his speeches. I love what he stood for. If he was here today and he was seeing how many people were able to come together, I mean, people were killed. People were beaten. People were just for looking at a black woman, so, I think it's great to change.
Let me ask you this right here then. Okay. Now, what is your end game? Because we talk about generational wealth in the black community a lot. We talk about, hey, how are we going to get to that next plateau? Because I can go to any state, any city, majority of the times, the poverty communities are predominantly black. Now, let me ask you this. Now, we can say systematic racism. True. We know that exists. I went to prison for 7 years, and it was all because, really, the color of my skin. It is what it is. I did 7 years, almost a decade, got out stronger black Muslim brother. All right? By the way, you know, I would tell you, my real name is Joaquin Abdullah Talib. So, you know, I changed my name from Antonio Deshaun Lowe to Joaquin Abdullah Talib to drop.
Now, I have a question for you, though. With you being Muslim, is it accepted in the Muslim religion to have a white woman?
Oh, yeah, because I'm not FOI. I'm not fruit of Islam. I'm not a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. No,
okay.
I'm a Sunni Muslim. I don't know if you ever watched Malcolm X. You remember when Malcolm X went overseas and he said that black people are not the only ones as Muslims, you know? And he went overseas and he said, "I drank from the same cup as a white man with blue eyes, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes." That's true. That's Islam, okay? It don't matter what color you are, you can be a Muslim. It doesn't matter what color you are. But what was preached over in America was preached to, like, black people. Oh no. So don't get it twisted. Like, for example, in prison, we were all Muslims, but we had our different services. We had the Sunni Muslim service, and they had the Nation of Islam service. You know what I mean?
I was raised under that religion, Nation of Islam. Yeah. I have a name.
Let me tell you something. This is what you got to always remember, because I'm a Muslim, been one for 20 years. Let me tell you something. Don't get culture mixed up with the Quran. This is the thing you got to understand. It's a way of life, not a religion. Remember that. And I tell people this all the time. They say, well, are you a black Muslim? No, I am a Muslim, okay? I follow the prophet Muhammad, okay? Excuse me. And I will be making my trip to Mecca, to Saudi Arabia, to do my pilgrimage, okay? That's the last thing I have left. And I will be going to Africa, actually, is either the end of this year or the beginning of next year. I'll be over there for a whole month, okay? So I tell people this right here. I'm going to the root of where all my people come from, okay? And what they put in front of your face, and I have nothing against the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. I have nothing against him. Do I agree with everything he's saying? No. But that goes for anybody, right? It don't matter what book you read. You get a book. It's falsehood in everything you get. You just got to know how to surf it through all the bull. You know what I mean? I've practiced Buddhism. I've practiced Judaism. I've practiced, you know, I grew up Christian. You know what I mean? Christianity. So you got to understand that I know about all that. So when people try to come to me and say, oh, man, you a Muslim. What are y'all about? We are about peace. Don't get the media twisted about what the media tell you that Muslims are, because they don't know what the hell they be talking about. So to answer your question about that, if you are Nation of Islam, they might preach the, you know, dating out of the race and all that. But when you are a Sunni Muslim, when you are a Muslim, when you are Islam, the Quran does not preach against any race.
Okay. That's good to know.
All right, so if you want to convert to Islam, right, and you want to meet a man, and if he's Islamic, that's cool. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But most of the time, a man can meet a woman that's not part of Islam, and he convert her over to Islam. It's very rare for a woman who is part of Islam to meet a man who is Christian and try to convert him. Like, that's just.
Wow.
That ain't the way it really
That is good. That is good to know. I never knew. I was just wondering. That was a question that I had.
Because most black, well, you got to remember something. Most black people think that black, if you are Muslim and you're black, you know, you follow Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's not true. So you are global, right?
Yes, yes.
No doubt. So let me ask you this. So we get back to what we was going on. We had some good conversations going, talking about black women and about our people and all that stuff. So you're global, right? So I want to know, don't give me all 500 countries you in. All right.
It's 172.
Okay. All right, 172. All right, whoa, that was up. So give me a couple of countries that you in, you know, where most of the black people at.
Wow, oh, that's going to be tough. I'm going to give you the countries that I'm growing in right now.
Okay.
We are in 172 countries, so okay. I don't want to list too many, but right now we are in South Africa. We have a corporate office in Pretoria, South Africa. We're also launched in Johannesburg, okay? We are also launched in West Africa, so we are in Ghana. Okay. We are in Nigeria. We have a corporate office in Ghana, but we also are launched in Kenya. So Africa is one of our places. So when you mentioned early on that you're going to be going to Africa for 30 days, I would love to join you and be able to go out there and impact. But locally, we are in London. We are in Dominican Republic. We are in Puerto Rico. We're in all of these countries, and I have teams in each one, but I'm really focusing on Africa right now. Reason being is they're paid once a month. The government is fairly crooked, so it doesn't give equal opportunities to everyone there. There's a lot of poor, way more than what we have here. And there's not systems put in place for the poor here. There's shelters, there are different things, there's food banks. There's a lot of different corporations that have nonprofits, and they always like to go like that. And they are helping the community. They don't have all of those resources in Africa. It's hard for them to get products shipped. It's just everything is, so I want to be the gap. I want to bridge the gap to make things more easy and convenient for people in Africa to help them. Is that too much noise in the background?
No, you good.
Okay, awesome. So I want to be able to do that. Now, with Dominican Republic, we do have a big team there. We have translators there. We have Anna Katera. She's earning over $1 million a month in direct sales there. So, I mean, global is my thing.
Oh, that, hey, and you know what? I'm glad that you're doing it globally, man. You know, you gotta go get outside the U.S. and spread, and it's a good thing that you're working in Africa. So what I want you to do for me right now is I want you to give people your links, your website, and you know where they can find you at. And hey, and it's cool because during this podcast, everybody, y'all look below. You see, it's gonna be Instagram, all that. So all that stuff. So what she about to tell y'all, you're gonna be seeing through the whole time you watching this podcast. Now this this is an audio podcast also. So, you know, you can get on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, all that. So I want you to tell people where they can get it also for the people that don't watch it on YouTube.
Okay, actually, I would love to do that. No My doubt. Instagram is I am Taylor Frucell. I'm going to spell Frucell for you guys. It's Frucell. So I am Taylor Frucell on Instagram. My website is Taylor's Enterprise. When you type it in, you're just going to type in Taylor's Enterprise and you will be able to see everything. But if you also type in Taylor Frucell in Google, you'll also be able to be directed to all of my links on Facebook.
You'll pop up.
Yes, and I will pop up on Facebook. You can find me at Taylor Stubbs on Facebook. That's S-T-U-B-B-S. And I'm going to tell you the difference here. Stubbs is my last name. I'm proud of it. My father is in the music industry. He's done amazing things. And my Frucell is the name of my clothing brand. Frucell stands for famous, remarkable, unique, comfortable, enriching, luxury fashion. So that's acronyms that match my brand and what I represent. So again, I am Taylor Frucell on Instagram, Taylor Stubbs on Facebook, and Taylor's Enterprise is the website.
That's what's up.
Oh, y'all want my phone number? It's like, nah, I'm joking.
All right, then you do that, then. You talking about you globally, you're going to be getting motherfuckers calling you from Germany.
Amazing, you guys. If you text me right now, I'll give you a free gift. My phone number is 443-34-READY. And READY is going to be spelled, it's going to be 443-347-3239. So you're just going to be texting 443-34-READY. Ready,
yes, R-E-A-D-Y, yes.
Because we are ready for change.
Okay.
We are ready for elevation. We are ready to collaborate.
Let's go.
We're here.
Yeah. That's what the fuck out the op shit. Drop the mic.
That's what the fuck it is. Hey,
drop the mic. Shit. She said, here's the number. Drop the motherfucking mic. Okay, that's what's up, man. That's what I be telling people. When you come on my podcast, you get that shit out. You let everybody know this was going on. I'm making it big. Fuck y'all. Here's my number. Text me, motherfucker. That's what I'm talking about. Drop the mic.
Here's my phone number. Call me. Send me a text.
Hey, and matter of fact, if y'all watching this on YouTube, I will have her number. When she say her number, her number is gonna appear. And when she say it again, it's going to still be there, okay? And y'all better text her and let her know what's up if y'all need some branding. That's what's up. Okay, now this is my favorite part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last segment of my show, and it is called Brutally Honest. And it's I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to have to be brutally honest. And let me tell you something. If I don't believe it, I'm going to rag your ass. That's what I do. That's what I do. Okay. Now, the question of the brutally honest question of today is, pulling it up, y'all. I'm sorry I be cheating sometimes. All right. Now, This is the question. And I answer my own question after you answer. Would you rather be happy and broke or unhappy and rich? That's the question for you, Ms. Frusell.
So from a fairly successful woman that has seen her ups and downs in the space of entrepreneurship, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, I would honestly say I would rather be happy, and I'm not going to ever say broke, but I would rather be happy. Because
No, that ain't how it works.
I would rather be happy
Okay, then, thank you.
And unhappy because happiness is everything. And when you have your happiness, you can get up and go get the money. You could the stuff that the universe is going to give you things and conspire to you because you're living in happiness. So I don't really see people are happy and broke because they're content. They're content with the things that they have. See, I really care about less fortunate people. And this is a really good example. You got to hear this. I talked to a less fortunate person and I asked them, well, with them getting up and going to work every single day, but still living in a tent and under the bridge, why is that? And they said, because when you get a lot of money, things become complicated. Okay, there's bills, there's rent, there's cars.
I was homeless.
There's a lot of things that become complicated. So sometimes people find happiness in the simple and the lesser things, but that doesn't mean broken. Okay, so because there's a difference between broke and broken. I do believe that strongly. So for me, my answer would be I would rather be happy and broke than be rich and unhappy.
Okay, now let me give you my answer. I got to give you my answer. Let me tell you something. I've been homeless. I done slept under a bridge. I done did it all. I was homeless when I first got out. Well, I remember walking my bags down and nobody was happy. Now they see me on this plateau, me filming my own film that I write, I produce, I direct, I employ. And they like, this dude is doing in 3 years. And I've been out here how long? I only been out here 3 years. I've been out 3 years and 3 months, man. So I ain't even caught up to my 7 years in prison. But then I was like, both.
You can say you can pick both.
I just said, as a question, would I be happy? I would rather be happy and broke and unhappy and rich. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I think at your best times, at your best moments, you are happy and broke because it means so much to you. Your happiness and stuff means so much to you. And I've seen people have the most fun, the most amazing time of their life broke. Okay. So yeah, I would rather be happy and broke, but on the flip side, I would love to be unhappy and rich also. And this is why. Because of my beautiful kids, of my beautiful seeds that I've put in this world. If I'm unhappy and rich, they can have it all. You know what I'm saying? So
that's good.
Why I say both, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think when I do hit to that next plateau, I might be happy sometimes, but I think I'm going to go through one of them spots where I'm going to be unhappy, and it could be just the overwhelming of everything that's going on. I don't know, but I'm gonna prepare myself for that. So when I say both, that's what I mean. No doubt.
So
shout out to my kids.
I understand that. I completely understand that, and I don't have those whys. I don't have kids, so I think for me, it might be a little different. I saw someone who was earning well over $1 million a month and wasn't happy. So they lost a lot of it because they weren't able to show up. They were in a deep depression and they had the money, but they were depressed. But now they have ultimate peace and the money is tripling. The money is quadrupling and it's going to be 60 million this year. It's a Black woman. She's going to earn 60 million this year out of the depression, but was making, you know, well over six figures a month in her depression, but not able to enjoy life, not able to enjoy the money, not able to have a clear mental head on where I can move things and do things because of being unhappy and depressed. Right now in my business, it is not the highest that it's been, and it's not the highest that it's going to be. It's in that middle. So I'm actually facing showing up every day regardless of my finances. I'm facing pulling myself together regardless of my finances, and I'm finding happiness and gratitude in the little things. I'm starting to appreciate them because I came from money. I didn't grow up in the hood. I didn't grow up less fortunate. I didn't, you know, so I came from money. So this point in my life where things aren't as financially stable as I want them to be, I'm still pressing on and still able to show up in my future. That's why earlier I said it's not a problem with showing up in your future. You don't fake it until you make it, but your happiness is everything. Your happiness will lead
you. You got a lot. You got a lot. You know what? You know, we got to bring you back on to the podcast. We got to get you up in the studio, and I'm going to have some people up in here, and we're going to have a good conversation. And what's going to be so good about it, I'm not going to pre-record it. I'm going to live stream it. We're going to be on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube all at the same time. So you better get your schedule, get ready. When I come back, excuse me, from Miami Beach, and my film is wrapped up around about June, you got to come through the studio, and we're going to have a lot of conversation. But I know our time is slimming down, but I want to tell everybody, you make sure y'all go check me out. Joaquin, that's Y-Q-E-E-M, that's W-Y-Q, Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. That's if you want to check out my music on Spotify, Apple Music, and all that. If you want to go watch my channel, watch my music videos, you can go to Joaquin TV, that's W-Y-Q-E-E-M TV, that's W-Y-Q, Eric, Mimi, Mama, Moo Moo. And this is Heat Level Podcast. If y'all listening to this, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, we everywhere, Tidal, we everywhere, we global. To Miss Frucell. We are global too. You better know it. And if y'all want to check this on YouTube and y'all want to see the visuals of this, and y'all can see the most beautiful Miss Taylor right here, y'all go on YouTube and y'all type in Heat Level Podcast. The channel's only been up about 2 months, so we're trying to grow that channel. So make sure y'all like, comment, share. And I got to give y'all the brutally honest question again. And y'all make sure y'all comment on it. And it is, would you rather be happy and broke or unhappy and rich? Let me know. So, Miss Taylor Frucell, thank you for coming in to the podcast. And I hope we can do this again. So, everybody, like I always say, I'm about this